asses, cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
The wheels may be needing a little work.
Dead men tell no tales.
Oh, look at those people.
Here for the big race, huh? It's gonna be fun.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
What is going on, everyone? Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, I have a very special guest on the podcast. I have Tom Amin. How are you?
I am good, Tony. Thank you for having me on the show. You know, I just discovered your podcast like 3 or 4 months ago. So it's been so fun listening to you guys, and I've been following you in the move to Vegas from California and Danny's pregnancy. And so it's been really cool to listen to you guys talk about Disneyland. So I'm really glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, Tom, that's really funny because I actually, once Danny got pregnant, was when I discovered you. For you guys that don't know, Tom is a very popular, very great, awesome piano player. You can check him out on Spotify. But once Danny got pregnant, they were saying, you know, play some classical music for the baby. Like, it's really nice. It's really good for their brain development. And I'm like, well, I'm going to pick some Disney music to play for my kid, obviously. And I found Tom's music, and I've been playing that to the baby that's growing in Danny's stomach, like, every single day. And Tom, I'm just going to say, like, I'm going to, you know, we'll see how the brain develops. The baby's success is on you, Tom.
I know. I feel the pressure now. It's kind of scared. I hope the music does its job. My fingers are crossed.
I hope so. His success is up to you.
I know, right?
So, Tom, talk to me. Let's get started. Let's go back to your early days. Let's hear about the beginning of your music journey.
Oh, wow. Okay. This is going to go back now a little bit because I'm a little older. So I'm 52. So okay. I started playing music. I mean, some people consider it late because usually when kids are really good at music or like an instrument, guitar, piano, or what have you, they're starting when they're like 4, 5, 6 years old. That wasn't me. I didn't really discover music till I was about 12, okay. 11 or 12 years old, but something stirred in me. We went, the story goes, and I remember it so vividly, but my parents took us to see Superman 2, that movie with Christopher Reeve. And I remember listening to that theme. And I had heard music before. I've heard John Williams' music in the past because when I was a kid in 1977, you know, we saw Star Wars and that was awesome. But for some reason, the Superman theme connected with me, I think because I was a little bit older. And for some reason, it wowed me. It just blew me away. And then I went home and started playing it on the piano. For some reason, I was able to just sound it out. I had started to take guitar before. So I'd taken guitar lessons for about a year, but for some reason I was able to figure it out on the piano and it was a lot of fun. So that's kind of where it all started. And then my parents said, I think we should get you into lessons, but they didn't want to waste money if I was just going to give it up a few weeks later. So they put me into a group lesson, like a 10-week summer lesson or something at a store called Arrowhead in the mall where I grew up. But that's where we started to learn Disney music. Was some of the first stuff they introduced us to. So that's how I started to really learn Disney music, was way back then.
That's amazing that you mentioned, you know, John Williams, just because John Williams was actually like my family, like every year growing up in LA, that was like our big thing. We would go to the Hollywood Bowl and we would watch John Williams.
Yeah.
So like, and it's just amazing that like over time, he has just conducted so much music for just so many different like age groups. Like you have Harry Potter, Star Wars, Superman, like the list just goes on. And, you know, for decades, he's just been able to like introduce like magic through music to like new generations of children.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's one of my idols. He's probably the reason I'm in music is because of his music, and he's just brilliant. And now that I've lived in LA, I've had the chance to go see those shows, and oh boy, what a show. I mean,
the lightsabers at the very end.
Everyone whips out lightsabers. He plays the Star Wars theme. The whole crowd goes nuts, and it's really fun. It's a lot of fun.
When did you move here to LA?
I moved here in 1999. So it's been a long time. I've been here over 20 years. I'm an official Angeleno, I guess, but I've been here a long time. But I moved from Ohio.
You moved here from Ohio. That's right.
From Ohio, yes.
So What was it like moving to LA from Ohio? Like, what was it just a crazy just change of pace, and just what brought you out to LA? What was the main thing that brought you out here?
The main thing was music, to try to do music on a bigger scale and meet some new people and try to get more involved in the industry, because I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, which was great, but it only got so far in Cleveland. Like, you can only do so much. And my sister lives out here. She still does, but she lived out here at the time because she was pursuing acting. So I had come out to LA on a vacation to visit, and that's when I decided I was going to move here because I fell in love with it. Now, it was still a culture shock. Trust me, coming from Cleveland, Ohio, the traffic was insane when I first moved here. And I also remember the price of apartments for rent was just crazy. And now, compared to what it is now, it was like nothing. But when I first moved here, it was like so much more expensive than what I was paying for in Cleveland. So that was a big culture shock to me.
Absolutely. So did you already kind of have a following when you moved to LA, or did it really kind of start get going for you when you moved out here?
I did have a following, a local following in Cleveland. I knew a lot of people there, and I had grown up playing in the churches there. So I knew a lot of people from that end of it, and then from playing at restaurants and bars and clubs, like things like that. I had developed, I think, a local following. But the bigger following, of course, came once I moved here. And then once I started recording some of the Disney music that I loved, that's when I started to gain a bigger following.
You know, and I wanted to talk about that too. So talk to me. Yeah. What were like some of your earliest Disney inspirations?
When I was growing up, I only think now, because there's a lot of stuff, you know, one of my favorite movies when I was a kid was Freaky Friday. So that movie was my life. And I've already recorded the song twice, the theme song to the movie, I'd Like to Be You for a Day.
Yep.
I played it in concert. Okay. Like, I love it. But I'd have to say the Renaissance of the 90s, the late, you know, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, The Lion King, all of those movies that were happening when I was in my 20s really influenced me and made me fall in love with Disney even more. So I would really say it was that time during that period that really sparked my love for this music.
And it's kind of funny that you say that, you know, once you started kind of covering some more Disney's, you started to gain even more of a following. And I think I can relate, and so many other people listening to the podcast right now, because we have so many influencers and people and, you know, musicians and other people that listen to this podcast that are involved in the Disney community. And it's something that speaks to everyone in some way, somehow. I feel like Disney can just speak to you and to anybody. And it opens the doors to just so much more, I think.
I agree with you. It's just, there's something universal about it. And there's something that's ageless and timeless about the music, no matter what era that you're in. Because now, of course, I love all of the Disney catalog, and I love listening to the old stuff. And I'm not saying the 90s, I'm saying the old stuff from the 40s and 50s, which is brilliant music. So I love listening to all that, as well as the modern stuff, the new stuff. I'm really excited. What's the new movie that's coming out that has the score with Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Oh my gosh, I can't even remember it. Yeah, but I know what you're talking about. It's coming out like in November too, and I should know the name of it.
And I know, and I'm so sorry, you guys. I don't remember the name, but I
wish Danny was here, because then she would slap me across the head and she would tell me what it's called.
But like, I'm looking forward to hearing that stuff. And of course, Alan Menken's music is brilliant. And it just, I think you're right. It can touch so many people at different ages of their lives and bring back so many memories. Think about, you know, the memories that the Disney music brings to you when you hear it. It's just amazing.
And not only just Disney. So talk to me, like, how has things changed with, like, so you started before kind of like all these streaming sites came out. How much has like sites like Spotify helped you getting your name out and people listening to you?
Spotify, the streaming services are great because you can reach a way broader audience than you could before. Think about when we didn't have that stuff. The only way for independent artists to really get their music out was on CDs and mailing lists and trying to get on like independent radio and trying to get on some maybe some shows that get interviews on local TV and things like that. But with this age of streaming and stuff, you can put your music right up on Spotify and iTunes and all that stuff and have people instantly be able to download it or stream it and listen to the music and give you feedback. So it's like this instantaneous thing. But what's great about it is that it's worldwide. So you can have people listening to you from all over the world. It's really amazing. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think last year you had like what, like 100,000 streams or something like that? Over 100,000?
No, I had 3 million streams last year.
Oh my gosh, where did I get 100,000?
I don't know. I had 3 million streams. I did post, you might have gotten that number. I recently hit.
I did stalk your Instagram page before this interview.
Totally fine. I posted when I hit over 100,000 streams in a month. Because that's never happened to me before. So I did post about that a few months ago. That's probably where that number comes from. But it's amazing to have that many streams from someone. I'm just a small independent artist. Like I'm not, you know, that's a big deal for me. Now,
there's no small 3 million. That's amazing.
And it's Winnie the Pooh is the number one stream song. My number one stream song is Winnie the Pooh.
It is Winnie the Pooh. And then I think number two is like Fantasmic, my favorite show, my favorite song. I was so excited to listen to that.
It's cool. Yeah, it's really fun. And it's been an amazing ride. So that's what's really cool about it is having people be able to listen to the music all over the world. And then they can always get in touch with you. You know, they can email you, ask you questions. I get that a lot. When I was going to do this new, the latest Disney album I did, Magical Meditations, I actually put out feelers to one of the podcasts that I was doing an interview with in London. Mm-hmm. And I asked them, they said, do you mind if we ask our listeners for suggestions? I said, no, please do. And then I used like 8 of those suggestions in the album because I love to hear what people want, you know, want to hear. So
what, can you tell us what songs are on that album?
On Magical Meditations, I did 14 songs. And what's really interesting, I've always wanted to do an album that was for rest and relaxation where you could put it on to like go to sleep, to study, to meditate. It's a really slow album. There's nothing fast on the album, but I took fast songs and rearranged them to sound mm-hmm. slow. Like I'll Make a Man Out of You is on there. It's a Small World is on there, but you'd be amazed at how cool the song can be as a meditative song. Okay. I know you'd have to hear it to believe it, but it's true. And I did the theme song from Freaky Friday. I did a few songs from the parks as well. I did, It's a Small World was one. I did Horizons, a ride from Epcot from the 80s. And I did Energy. That was another song from an Epcot ride back in the 80s. And then I
definitely need to listen to those because those are two rides that I was never able to experience.
Oh, those were good rides. You might like this album then. And then there's all Little Mermaids in there and there's some Lion King. But I just arranged it so that you could put it on to meditate or even fall asleep to. And I thought it would be cool to do an album like that because how many albums are like that of Disney songs? You know, like that's why I thought this might be unique and different to try.
That's awesome. And what Disney songs and what songs that aren't Disney? I want to know kind of an opinion of both. Like what's like the hardest Disney song you've had to learn and what's just the hardest song in general that you've had to learn that just kicked your butt, you couldn't figure it out, and it just you're just going mad, staying up all night, just throwing things around.
Interesting. There's actually I can think of two of them.
Okay.
That were a challenge to learn. The mm-hmm. first one was an album I did a while ago. I put, let me think. Hold on. I'm going to start with this one first. The Main Street Electrical Parade.
Great choice. That great song.
Is a great song. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I had to clear my throat. My allergies are crazy. But I wanted to do Main Street Electrical Parade. I wanted to do it as a ballad so to slow it down. I thought that would be a really interesting way to do the song. But it's a kind of intricate song. Like it's detailed. There's a lot of notes in there. Bum, ba-da, bum, bum, ba-da, na, 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 and it goes on and on. But I had to learn those notes, mm-hmm. you know, to slow them down. So that was a challenge. That took me a while to learn. A lot of times I can sound out the music. Like I don't have music for a lot of this stuff. I just do it by ear. But like that song for sure, I downloaded. I had paid for the sheet music to download because I wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
I got it right. So that was one of them. And then the other one was, I don't know, can we count this as Disney now because Star Wars is under the Disney umbrella, but the Duel of the Fates, John Williams' Duel of the Fates.
Ooh, I can see that being really hard. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, it was just interesting to learn. They had a lot of different chord changes and different key signatures, because I did that one on a Star Wars album I did, but I wanted to make sure I got those progressions down the correct way as well. So I bought the sheet music for that as well to learn, because I didn't want to screw that up. Those, I think those two were probably the most difficult for me. I really had to take some time to learn them.
Before we get on to your other hard songs, I do need to know. I, I was stalking your Instagram page, because that's what I do.
Okay.
And I saw the video of you getting a toy set Millennium Falcon for Christmas back in 1980.
Can you believe that? I know. I had to post that. It was an old video, you know, the 8mm films from way back when I was growing up, that's all we had. And there was no sound, but, my parents had them. We took the 8mm and had them converted to DVDs. So that was just from a DVD. I was watching it the other day and I said, I have to post about this because I was so in love with Star Wars. And right. That was the Christmas I got the Millennium Falcon, the toy. And I was so happy. I was so excited to have that toy. And that's a little like video of me opening that present when I was 1980. I was 11? I think I was 11 years old.
Yeah. Has any Christmas gift, has anything beaten that since that toy?
I don't think so. You know, it's one of those Christmas gifts that you remember as a kid, you know, like that was the best present. It was just the best present.
Especially just in that time, just how huge Star Wars was. Like, I can't even imagine just how awesome that was.
Because think of like 1980, something like we just Star Wars. But when Empire Strikes Back, was that 80 or 81?
It was Empire was 80.
80. So it was right around that time. And we're still waiting for Return of the Jedi. So that had not come out yet. So it was right in the middle of all of the Star Wars hype. It was really fun. It was a great, it was just a fun time. And what a perfect gift.
What's awesome. Your favorite Star Wars movie?
Empire Strikes Back is my favorite.
The soundtrack?
The soundtrack and the movie itself. Yoda's theme? Yoda's theme is brilliant. There's the Luke and Leia theme, right, is from that one as well. And the main theme and it's brilliant, brilliant movie. That's always been my favorite.
I think the Yoda theme might be my favorite Star Wars song altogether. Yeah. And I really like Rey's theme, actually, from Force Awakens.
She's got a great theme as well.
So good. So catchy. I listen to it probably at least a few times a week. I always have to put that on.
Yeah, it's brilliant stuff.
Now, let's get to it. Now, what is just the absolute hardest song that you've had to master on the piano?
Besides
Disney, just anything. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There's been a lot. Well, you know, I was trained classically, so I could name a few classical songs that really I just could never get. I was like, this is not happening. Do you know, I don't know if you know this song, but the Greek Concerto in A minor, it's a beautiful classical piece. I tried to learn it. I maybe learned like 2 or 3 pages of it and I just gave up because like, I can't do this. Okay. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful piano song, but I'd say classically that I would say pop wise or maybe jazz or pop, you know, I learned a lot of big band music. Cause when I play at gigs and parties, I play a lot of cover music. So I learned a lot of big band music, American standards, that kind of thing. And some of those are really good, but kind of complicated progressions. There's one song called Skylark, which I don't know if you've heard of. It's an old standard. Beautiful, beautiful song. But it's got these really funky jazz progressions in the middle of the song, going into like different key signatures every third measure. And it's bizarre, but it's really cool. But stuff like that I find very challenging, but also very fun to learn. Like very cool. And also too, I have to say, the music of Queen can be really complicated. Because I've played a lot of it. Yeah, Queen had like the Bohemian Rhapsody and stuff like that. It's just, it's good, good music, but it can be complicated to learn. There's a lot of stuff going on there.
That's really cool. That's cool. Like, I feel like you've kind of worked your way around and you've played music just like where are some of like the coolest places that you've been able to like play music live?
Oh, geez. There's been several. Well, they've all been here in LA. Because I played at some cool places in Cleveland too. I used to play at a mall down there called the Galleria, which was like, it wasn't like a regular mall. It was a really like fun mall that had these big vaulted glass ceilings And they had a grand piano right in the middle of the mall. And so I played there. That was a lot of fun. But here in LA, there's a country club in Malibu. I think it's called the Malibu Country Club. I'm not sure. It's off of the main coast highway. It's in this gorgeous area of Malibu where when you go to play the piano, they have a beautiful Steinway grand piano there. And when you're playing, you're facing to the ballroom, but right behind you is all windows. It's like walls, but they're all windows, and they open the windows at night. And then right across the street is the ocean. It's wow. right across from the ocean. So as you're playing the piano, you're hearing the ocean waves crashing in the background. I played there 3 times. I have to tell you, every time I went there, I was like, I was in love with that place. It was a wow. really cool place to play.
Just that would be great for your like Disney meditation album.
Oh, it'd be perfect, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Oh, that'd be perfect. So that was one of the greatest places I played at. It was a lot of fun to do. And I played for, you know, there's been other things. I've told the story. I don't know if you want to hear it again, but like I played for a couple celebrities here, which were actually a lot of fun. Played at their homes. Okay. That was cool.
Who's the coolest celebrity you got to play for?
Well, I have to tell you, I know I've told this story, so probably people have heard me talk before. They're probably so tired of hearing this, but this was one of my favorite nights ever in LA.
Okay.
I played it at J.J. Abrams' house for his
really?
Party. I played 3 times at his house. He kept hiring me back because he loved me.
Did you play really Star Wars music?
Oh, man. I have to tell you, this was years ago. This was when Lost was still on because okay. I told him, I said, J.J., I loved Lost like that. I was watching it every week at the time. So I played the theme song in it was a Christmas party, but I played mm-hmm. the theme song for them. They were the coolest, most down to earth, really fun people. And I only happened to get the job because I guess the pianist that the company usually hired for these gigs couldn't make it. For some reason, he couldn't make it. And they're like, well, JJ didn't really like him that much either. So we're going to try someone new. And I said, oh, great. I didn't know it was his house before I was there. They just said, you're going to go play a party, you know, in Hollywood Hills. This is the address. I said, oh, cool. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And then once I showed up and he walked in, I was like, oh, my gosh, I think that's J.J. Abrams. And it was him. It was totally him.
Were you nervous? Do you get nervous to play at all?
Yes. No? Yes. Yeah. I'm always nervous. I'm always nervous to play. I think it's bad if you're not nervous. Do you know what I mean? I know people say that, but I think it's true because when you're nervous, I think it means you care. Like you want to do well. I want to make sure I connect with the audience. I want them to have a good time or enjoy the music. Yeah. So I do get nervous all the time. But at his house, I mean, I wasn't nervous there because it was his home. You know, it was like a casual. It wasn't like a concert setting, and they were in love. Like they loved me. His wife loved me. Like she came up to me. She was said, and what's really cool about them, I'll tell you this. Mm-hmm. When you play at these parties and these events, usually they'll feed you, which is great. You know, we always love free food.
I'm sure he eats great food, by the way. Yeah. I'm sure it's delicious.
Yeah, it was good food. But what usually happens is you just go in a corner and eat, or they say, we'll send you to the kitchen, just take a 30-minute break and go eat. And that's totally fine. What they did at this Christmas party, Katie came up to me and she said, Tom, we're going to take a break now. I'd been playing for about an hour or so. She said, we're going to take a break. Mm-hmm. We're all going to eat. Come take a break, grab a big plate of food and come join us. Like, that's how they are. So I sat with everyone and just ate dinner before I went back. Like, that's just how friendly and down to earth they were. I was blown away. I really was. It was cool. So then they hired me like 2 other times to play. One was for a Christmas Eve event there. And it was a lot of fun. And it was really cool to meet him because I really looked up to him and it was a lot of fun. So those I think are my 2 favorite places to play here.
That's really cool. That's a great story. And that is perfect for the podcast. We have a lot of Star Wars fans that listen. So that's awesome to hear about.
It was amazing. You should have seen. I'm sitting in my mind, though. I'm seeing. I am just a boy from Cleveland, Ohio. How is this happening? Like, I was freaking out a little bit. Like, oh my God. Like,
well, you had no idea he was going to be the future director of 2 Star Wars films either. No. Something else that you loved. And it was probably now it's like, hey.
I know. And I
ate this guy's food. He likes me. It's cool. Whatever.
Yeah, they were very cool. Just very cool and generous people. It was a really good experience because you never, I was telling people, you don't know how people are going to be, like celebrities or famous people. You really don't know how they're going to be when they meet you. You just don't know. But that was a cool experience.
Absolutely. That's a great story. And speaking of Christmas, you actually just released your own cover of Jingle Bells.
I did. And I'm so excited because it's the first holiday single I've ever done. I've never released Christmas music like this before, but I thought I'd try it. And I had an idea for Jingle Bells. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I said, let's just try it and see. So I just released it. And I hope people enjoy it during the holiday. I think it's a cute, it's a fun, easy listening pop arrangement of Jingle Bells. And I really like it. I think it turned out pretty good.
You know, yeah. And like, I listened to it and I got to tell you, like when I first put it on, I was expecting just a regular, just kind of cover of Jingle Bells. And then to my surprise, I realized like it wasn't just Jingle Bells. Like there was so much like, is layering the right word to use? Like,
yep, that's
just
a good
added
word.
So many different layers to the song and you really put your own spin on it. So I listened to that this morning and then I listened to like more of your other songs and I realized you kind of add your own little thing, even like the Disney songs.
Yeah.
It's not just a complete cover. You add your own little, you know, you have a good ear. You can add your own layers to songs, which makes it different. So like people that are listening to this podcast now, like I'm telling you to go listen to like his music, maybe start with like his Disney songs, because you're not just going to hear your own cover. You're going to hear something a little different in each version of that song that makes it special.
Thank you. That's what I try to do. I love to do covers, but I love to put my own spin on them. So they're just a little bit different. I like to keep the essence of the song, you know, the spirit of the original, of course, and give that respect. But I just like to put my own spin on it. And so it's a little different. So like you said, you're not going to just hear a direct duplicate of like, you know, Kiss the Girl or Seize the Day from Newsies. It's going to be a little different spin on that kind of stuff. And that's what I like to do.
Well, yeah. And but the thing is, you're not even a cover artist. Like you've come out with your own music too. You can write and make your own music.
I have. Yes. I did two projects this past year that I'm really proud of all original music. And so I do write my own stuff as well. I'm a Disney nerd and I love the Disney stuff. You know, I love playing that music.
Talk to me about some of your, oh, by the way, guys. So at the end of this episode, we usually have our own little outro of Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. Well, guess what? It's the holidays and we're going to play an episode, a song, Jingle Bells, for you.
Nice. That'll be cool.
Yeah, we're going to play Tom's version of Jingle Bells to kind of leave you out of this episode.
Oh, well, very cool. I like that.
Yeah. So we are a Disney theme park podcast. So I do need to ask Tom, talk to me, give me some history, some background, you at the Disney theme parks, like some of your earlier memories at the theme parks and, living in LA, what's it like going to Disneyland now and going to like the main park that Walt used to go into?
That I have to tell you now, we grew up, I'm from Ohio. So when we were kids, my parents would take us to Walt Disney World in Florida. So that's the Disney park I grew up with that we loved. I love Epcot. It's one of my absolute favorite parks in the world. Animal Kingdom, all that stuff. But when we were first going, it was just Magic Kingdom and Epcot. Those were the only two that were there.
Okay.
But loved it. That, when I moved to LA and started going to Disneyland, it was so interesting because at first I have to tell you I didn't like it because it was so small. And so tiny. And when I went down Main Street, I'm like, the castle is like, there's no castle. Like, what's going on? I was so tiny.
Right.
Now that I've lived here, I've come to appreciate and love Disneyland because it's the original park. It's the park that Walt himself walked and had, you know, oversaw. We all know this, that oversaw everything. Mm-hmm. There's a nostalgia and there's a magic to Disneyland that's all its own here. And I absolutely love it. And I do think, this is just my opinion, but the Haunted Mansion ride here and the Pirates of the Caribbean ride here in Anaheim are the best. They're better than the ones at Disney World. The rides here are great. And especially with the Haunted Mansion overlay, they do Nightmare Before Christmas. It's just, they do so much cool stuff here. So I love Disneyland. I don't get to go there as often as I'd like to. Yeah. But I try to go once a year or so, a couple times a year. But I would have friends and I would just go to Downtown Disney and we'd walk around there and have dinner there. We'd do that a lot.
Absolutely.
It's a fantastic park. I tell Disney fans that are fans of Walt Disney World, if they've never been to Disneyland, you have to go at least once because it's just the original park. You know, it's wonderful.
It is, and you know, I always go back and forth on which one I like more. I can never decide, like, because you know, Danny and I being from the Los Angeles area, we would go to Disneyland all the time, and you know, then when we went to Disney World, it just like blew our mind how huge it was. You know?
Yeah. Like, oh yeah.
Like we didn't really get it. Like it's a real like city community, just like especially with like Disney Springs and stuff there. I mean, yeah,
I know.
So.
I know
it's we're always like, oh, we like Disney World more. But then like when this is ridiculous, whenever we get back from a Disney World trip, the next day we go to Disneyland because we just like we need our fix still. And, you know, Disneyland always hits the spot. Like it just there's something I think it's the small details in Disneyland. Like how you said Haunted Mansion's better. Yeah. I think it's just like the exterior, the way Haunted Mansion looks from the outside and just where it's located in Disneyland. Yes. Like, I feel like it just put so much more thought into like every little thing that went into it. You can just tell the differences on just like the little things at the Disneyland parks.
It's cool stuff. And I love New Orleans Square. Like, that's really cool. And I have been to Club 33 twice. It was amazing. My friend, a good friend here, he was in a band. Mm-hmm. And two of the women, I think, that were leaders of the band were members of Club 33. So they would have some gatherings there once a year, whatever. And then my friend was allowed to bring a guest. Okay. And he said, you want to go? I was like, well, hell yeah. I've never experienced this. Was before it was remodeled. So it was all the original, like, old-fashioned, weird kind of stuff in there. It was really cool. But we have Club 33 here, which is pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, no, we do. And man, I would love to go to Club 33 so much. Like, that's
it's an experience, I'll tell you.
And I always tell people, like, on Instagram, I'm like, hey, yeah, if anyone can get us into Club 33, that'd be really cool. And I just hear crickets. And then I'm like, our friends are getting in. I'm like, hey, wait, they follow us on Instagram. They listen to the podcast. How come they didn't get us in? What the
heck? I've only been able to get in because my friend I've never been back since, but it's because you can't get in there, right? First of all, there's a waiting list, and then you have to know someone to get in there or something like that.
I think the waiting list is like, I want to say it's years. I don't know the exact number, so I don't want to say, but it's years. And I think it's like, what, 30 grand
or something like that. Yeah. It's like an crazy.
To go into I can't do it.
No, I feel very lucky that I was able to experience that two times. I feel extremely lucky. I was able to
absolutely
do that. Yeah.
All right. So speaking of the Disney parks, we're going to play a game we haven't played in a while because we haven't done interviews in a while. Tom's like the first interview we've done in a very long time. We're going to play a game, hit or miss. I'm going to name 10 attractions. Tom's going to tell me if it's a hit or miss. And if he hasn't been on it, he's going to say, miss, skip.
Okay.
So are you ready, Tom? And if you don't like it, you got to tell me why you don't like it.
Okay. All right.
And you can tell me if you like it, why you like it too.
Okay. Got it.
Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Love it. No, it's a hit.
Okay.
Especially at night. Okay.
During the fireworks.
Oh yeah. That's even better. That's a hit for me.
I used to like going on it during Fantasmic, like during the first show of Fantasmic. And then and then I would get off and then go wait for the second show after I'd get off there.
That's awesome. It's brilliant. It's so cool. Love that one.
It is. Indiana Jones Adventure.
Hit. Total hit. I love that ride. I love the queue for the ride. The queue that's going when you walk around. It's so much fun. I like it way better than Dinosaur in Florida. So it's the same kind of ride with the same system, right? But I love
it. It's the same exact ride.
Yeah, it's a hit. It's a hit.
Okay. Haunted Mansion.
Well, of course it's a hit.
Yeah. Love there it. We go.
Love it.
Soarin' Over the World.
Okay. I have to split this between hit and I don't know. I loved the original Soarin'. I love it. I love Soarin' Over California. I thought it was magical and beautiful. I do like Soarin' Over the World, but I don't think it has the same magic to me as Soarin' Over California does or did.
Yeah, absolutely. And
Soarin' Over the World is great. It's a great ride. Mm-hmm. There's something about the Soarin' Over California that was just pure magic to me.
I don't understand really why they changed it, because I think Epcot has Soarin' Over the World and then it kind of made more sense for that to be there at Epcot. Why bring it over here to, you know,
California? It's a good point.
Why not just keep it two separate attractions? I never really understood why they did that, but
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
But Soarin', it's great. It's a great ride, though. I mean, the technology is awesome.
It's one of my favorites at a DCA.
Nice.
Star Tours.
Star Tours. Oh, my God. I love that ride, but it made me sick. Like, I can't go on those. It gives me the worst headache. So I have to say I do. But it's a hit for me. I loved Star Tours.
Perfect. Storybook Land Canal Boats.
Yeah, I could. It's a miss. I could live without those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't like fantasy? What's up? What's going on?
Not, I don't know. It's just that I don't have any nostalgia for it, I guess, maybe. Or
okay.
Yeah, it's just like, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. Great moments with Mr. Lincoln.
Oh, that's a hit. That's so fun.
Absolutely. Have you seen Hall of Presidents at Magic Kingdom?
Of course. Yeah. Not recently. I haven't seen it in a few years, but yeah. Hall of Presidents is another great attraction.
Cool. And do you know, did they have the last time you've been to Disney World, did they have like the American show, the show in America at Epcot? The Great American Adventure. I think that's what it's called.
Yes. That's still there. Yep. They still have that.
Have you seen that? I hear that's like one of like the best things at Epcot to see.
It's a great show.
It's because massive and it's crazy, I hear.
Yeah, it's a great show. And then before in the Rotunda, whatever, they have the Voices of Liberty singing, the choir.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 12 per, and they're brilliant. I mean, Tony, they are like amazing, amazing group of singers. They're so amazing. So it's a great experience. That was still there, I believe, the last time. Now, I don't know if it's still, is it still running or is it under construction? I don't know. That I'm not sure of.
I think it is still there. It's definitely still there. Okay. I was just kind of curious if you've seen it, just because so many, like, I feel like of a lot of people I talk to always just kind of skip it. I think by the time they get to America, they're kind of drunk and they don't really like stop to enjoy it. So I just kind of wanted to know if you've seen it or not, because
it's good.
It's something that I definitely want to see. But, you know, once Danny and I go and we have a couple margaritas, we kind of just walk around and. Right. It's definitely something I want to see and take my time and enjoy next time I go to Epcot.
Yeah, next time you're there, check it out, because they also have, like, when you're walking up to go to the show or whatever, there's like all kinds of quotes written on the walls about America. There's like a bunch of different flags, unless they changed that since the last time I was there. But there's flags from all over the world, like as you're walking up on the ceiling. It's a really cool attraction. It's really cool.
I got to tell you, America at Epcot has the worst beer.
Does it really?
It is horrible. Like, I couldn't. It is so disgusting.
That's not good.
Not good.
I don't
Canada, drink beer. Canada so actually has the best.
What does?
Canada.
Oh, Canada does. Okay. Very good. Yeah, I don't drink beer. Pavilion. So I don't know. I wouldn't be able to talk to that.
Gotcha. All right. Are you ready? Finding Nemo, Submarine Voyage.
I have not been on it. So
Have you been on the submarines at all?
Yes, before they were Nemo. What was it before? The
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Yeah, that was the last time I'd been there. So I can't speak to the Nemo thing.
We're going to go with a miss.
Okay, we're going to go with a miss. Okay.
Everyone says miss, so we'll just go with that.
Okay.
Alice in Wonderland.
Oh my gosh, have I been on that? I have no recollection of that. I'm going to say I haven't been on it, so I can't say.
Okay. No worries. Last one. Matterhorn bobsleds.
Oh my God. A total hit. Are you kidding me? It is so much fun. I know you guys, haven't you talked about this on the show before?
I can't stand it. It hurts so bad, but I love it. I love the animatronic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's painful ride. It hurts your butt, but it's so fun. It's the original coaster of Disneyland and it's just so much fun.
It is, and I really miss the days when, like, the sky buckets and the people – well, not the people mover, but the sky buckets would go through it.
Oh, yeah,
you could see the snowman from the sky buckets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ah, Tomorrowland used to be just such a better part of Disneyland. It's such a bummer what it's kind of turned into.
Yeah. I wish they would have brought a Carousel of Progress to Disneyland. Because I love that ride from Disney World. I just wish they would have brought that there.
I think it would be cool if, like, they did one like a Carousel of Progress 2.0.
Yeah.
And like it starts off where the last one left off with like the Christmas scene, and then you kind of go into like the newer technology and things that have come out since.
Oh, that would be cool. That's a cool idea.
Yeah, like I mean, like right now I think it's just like it was Carousel of Progress first, then America Sings, I think, and then went to
I don't know if that ever changed. Wasn't it always Carousel of Progress? I don't think that ever changed, did it?
Yeah, it was like America Sings for a while.
Okay, that I'm not aware of.
They went into like then it, Interventions. I don't know. They've changed it so many times, and I do think it's hard to tell what Disneyland locals would enjoy over the Disney World. You know, people that go on vacation once a year. It's kind of a tough one.
It's tough because you'd have to. Well, it depends on what park they're at too. I mean, if they saw Animal Kingdom is such a beautiful park. I mean, we don't have anything like that here. So,
no.
It just depends, you know?
Absolutely. So, speaking of things that Disney should do in the future, Tom, what do you have coming up in the future? What's new with you? Do you have anything that we should be looking forward to in the future with your music?
I just came out with this past month. I did a project for a New York Times reporter. It's called Hope Is in Your Hands. And that's a 5-song EP that's original music. So that's available, like if you're checking out Spotify or iTunes or whatever, Hope Is in Your Hands. I'm really proud of those 5 songs. So I just released that. And I have a couple ideas for some future recordings, but I'm not sure I can say them yet because I'm not for sure 100% going to do them. I mean, I guess I could tell you the ideas and just
go for it.
See, I'm toying around with the idea of doing a Star Wars lullaby album. That's one of them.
Okay.
Or another, a second Disney meditation album, but doing a different one, not how I did with Magical Meditations, a little bit different. But then I do know one for sure that I'm going to do in the spring of next year or by maybe late winter of next year. And this is not to bring anything down. It's not a bummer thing, but mom passed away back in June. Thank you. And she was a bereavement minister, counselor in Cleveland. And I'm actually in the middle of writing an EP of 5 songs based on the grief process, the stages of grief. So I'm going to do a 5-song EP based on that stuff. And I have almost all of the songs ideas down. And I'm really excited about it. But it's also like just kind of cathartic for me to do that, you know, to help me deal with my grief. So I'm putting some time and energy into that as well. But there's always new Disney music I want to do. So I'm sure there's going to be some more Disney stuff in the future.
Absolutely. And Tom, I mean, this is the first time I've talked to you, and I can just tell, like, you're such a great guy. And I feel like you take something that people love and you turn it around for something good, you know, to help others out. Like, I can tell that's just the kind of person you are. So that's really great to hear what you're doing.
Thank you, Tony. I try. And of course, I'm with everyone else. Like, I love the Disney music. Like, I only do it as well because I love it. And it's just been so inspirational for me as well. And it's cool because as a musician, to get to perform it or just to record that kind of music, it's great for us to be able to release that into the world. You know, it's a really cool thing. And that people actually like it or like to listen to it is just, I'm very, very touched because you never quite know, you know, how it's going to be perceived or whatever. But I'm so glad that people like it because I love to do it. I love the music. And I hope that comes through in the recordings.
Absolutely. It really does. And guys, if you haven't checked it out, check it out. So that's going to end the conversation with Tom tonight. Tom, let people know where they can find you.
Sure. If they want to go to my website, it's Tom Amin, and that's AMEEN. I know it's a little kind of a weird name, but TomAminMusic.com. And there's links to all the different albums, to Magical Meditations, to my original music. They're all there. Or if they just want to search on Spotify or Apple Music or even Amazon Music, if they just search Tom Amin, my name, it all comes up.
Absolutely. Tom, thank you so much for joining me. This interview was really great. It was a really good time.
Great. And thank you for having me. And I'm looking forward to continuing to listen to your podcast and the journey with you and the new baby. Like, I'm so excited for you guys.
Oh, it's going to be crazy. I don't know. I think like our whole thing's going to be turning into like, oh, how do we take a baby to the parks? Like, I don't know. Right. I don't know what's going to happen, but we'll find out. But guys, stay tuned. Listen up because you're about to listen to Tom's new hit, Jingle Bells. Have a good holiday. Stay safe, guys.